Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 17 June 2025, Zachariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, we're in verses 8 and 9, divine judgment on anti-Semitism. Zechariah 2, 8 and 9. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, for those of you who don't know, Vacation Bible School is going absolutely great. Had the first 2 days, it's going tremendous. And by the way, our VBS team is the best of the best. They are the best of the best. They work together as a team. It's phenomenal how they work together, and it's a demonstration, by the way, of a spiritual life in all of their lives, a demonstration of grace, a demonstration of virtue, love, and they are doing a fantastic job. 2 days down, 3 days to go. The day one report, it was a great start to VBS. We had 32 children attend, 23 non-Upland, 9 Upland. It's great to have new children each year. And we also love to see the children that have been attending for many years. All of them were very happy to be here. Debbie served waffles for breakfast. I didn't get any. Yeah. The kids, they gobble this food. They come here. Maybe they're just coming for breakfast. I don't know. But they, today, what was it today? The pancake sausages on a stick. One young man ate 5. He really loved it this morning. Then the children made Plan of God bracelets while Karina gave the gospel using the wordless book. Next was song time. Danielle, Bailey, Sophie, and Natalie led them in singing, and they did a great job. They will be learning about Bible heroes this week. Irene taught the little ones, Daria the older group, about Daniel in day one. Both had great classes, and the children could tell us later many details of what they learned. They made two cute Daniel crafts and then all went outside for water balloons, which they loved. The thing that's great about all this water stuff, it's so hot that about 5 minutes after they all get wet, they're dry, see? Jesus, or not Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is older than 15. Jesus is a 15-year-old that attends a Spanish-speaking church. He wants to learn more of the Bible in English, not in the original Spanish. Debbie gave him a gospel booklet, class schedule, and plan of God booklet. Thanks to the entire VBS team who all worked together, allowing God to bring the gospel and Bible teaching to these children, all by God's power. Thank you all so much for your prayers, Jamie and the VBS team. That was day one. Day two, thank you for your prayers. We had another great day at VBS. 34 children were here today. 25 non-Upland and 9 Upland. Karina taught the older children, and Irene and Sophie taught the lesson for the younger group. They learned about Queen Esther. Both classes went well, and the children remembered what was taught about Daniel yesterday. They heard the gospel many times during the day, had lots of good food and treats, sang songs, and played water relay outside. They decorated wooden crosses and crowns for their crafts. Please continue to pray for the next 3 days of Vacation Bible School and for these children and their families. Some of these children would like to attend classes here at Upland. Again, Jamie and the VBS team. All right. Zechariah 2, verses 8 and 9. We've exegeted it. This is the passage on divine judgment on anti-Semitism. Verse 8, because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after glory to the nations that have plundered you, because whoever touches you, whoever strikes, abuses, and harms the Jews, touches the apple of God's eye, strikes, abuses, and harms the apple of God's eye. Verse 9, for certainly I will raise my hand in judgment against them, so that they will become plunder for their slaves, and then you will know that the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, has sent me. Well, that brought us to a study of the doctrine of anti-Semitism. I don't believe we have ever taught this in great detail. We have studied the first 3 points on anti-Semitism. Point one was the meaning of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a person, a group, an organization, or a nation who is hostile to the Jews. Now, there's a point in human history, Satan almost won the angelic conflict. He sent fallen angels to cohabit with human women, creating a half-angelic, half-human race on planet Earth, Nephilim. And the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to bring judgment on the earth. And every person on planet Earth was destroyed except for 8 people. Only 8 members of the human race survived. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. The 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the whole world was then repopulated from those 3, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The descendants of Shem are classified as the Semitic race of peoples. And therefore, Semites include Akkadians, Elamites, Assyrians, Chaldeans, Arabs, Syrians, Lydians, Carians, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Midianites, some Armenians, some Ethiopians, and the Jews. So the term anti-Semitic is a bit of a misnomer, because being anti-Arab is not anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitism applies only to the Jews as a race and a nation, not to all Semitic peoples. The term is defined as intolerance, hatred, prejudice, opposition, persecution, and the exercise of terrorism and military activity against the Jewish race. Since the Jews are the center of the angelic conflict, there is great satanic motivation and opposition against the Jews, not only in the Middle East, but throughout the entire world. This persecution and hostility to the Jews will reach its peak in the 7-year tribulation period. Satan is the sponsor of all anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a part of Satan's plan called evil. Satan has 2 major objectives in the unfolding of anti-Semitism. The first part is the historical objective, and the second is the prophetical objective, still future. The historical objective, in which Satan sought to keep our Lord from being born. His attack from the moment of Genesis 3:15, and when Moses wrote Genesis 3:15, Satan saw, whoa. Velkommen, velkommen. Well, if you come in late, it's 100 push-ups. So Satan has 2 major objectives in the unfolding of anti-Semitism. First of all, his historical objective. And that was established when Moses wrote Genesis 3:15. Satan discovered that through the line of Christ, there would come a Messiah. And he would go to a cross and crush Satan's head. And when Satan saw that, his objective historically was to attack the line of Christ and then to attack Christ himself. And he failed at that. He came close in the Noahic flood and the fallen angels habitating with human women, so that God had to destroy everyone on planet Earth except for 8 people, Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wife. He came close. And then he continued his attack on the line of Christ. And then he attacked at the birth of Christ. He tried to kill Christ when he was born. Had all the male children, 2 years old and under, put to death. Trying to kill him as a baby. And he failed at that. And then he tried to defeat him while he was 33 years on earth in the first advent growing up. He failed at that. Now Jesus Christ crushed him with his victory on the cross. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Operation Grace, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can have the gift of eternal life. Following that victory, his resurrection, ascension, and session, he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now the satanic attack has shifted. The attack is no longer on Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Now the attack in the church age is on the body of Christ. For the first time in all of human history, the attack from Satan is on every one of you. All of you. Every single believer is under attack because we are the body of Christ. That never happened before until the church age. Now the attack is on you, and 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 you. Every one of you. Every church age believer. So that's the historical objective. The prophetical objective is looking to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth in the tribulation period. If he can destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, Satan will win the angelic conflict, because God cannot fulfill the four unconditional covenants that he promised Israel. Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenant. Four unconditional covenants he's promised to a remnant of Jews. And there will be a remnant of not only Jews in the end of the tribulation, but Gentiles also. The two witnesses presenting Jesus Christ all over the world, and the 144,000. 144,000, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, super evangelists, evangelizing the world. And as a result of the two witnesses and the 144,000, there will be Jews and Gentiles who will recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they will believe in him. And they will be rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent, and those, that remnant of believers, will, believers only, will go into the millennial kingdom. And the Lord will defeat Satan again. So that was point one. Point two, the declaration of the divine attitude toward anti-Semitism. God's attitude is clearly delineated in the third paragraph of the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, Israel, but the one who curses you, despises you, I will curse. And through you, specifically through you, a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed through him. Salvation is open to every race and every nation through Jesus Christ. I will, and through you and all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That brought us to point three, principles of application. Good people become evil people by compromising with evil. Anti-Semitism is evil. Anti-Semitism comes directly from Satan himself, who temporarily is ruling planet Earth. Good people, by becoming anti-Semitic, take on the evil characteristics of anti-Semitism. Romans 12, verse 21 says, stop being overcome by evil, but overcome evil by means of the divine good. The divine good is the result of growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, getting a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, which you then apply through the filling of the Spirit skillfully and accurately to your life in every situation and circumstance. God intends that Israel will not only survive all anti-Semitism, but through regeneration will become the final client nation to God in history during the millennial kingdom. Throughout human history, God deals with Israel personally, without any help. God punishes Israel when necessary. Hence, the punishment of Israel is the monopoly of the Supreme Court of Heaven. Interference with the divine prerogative of discipline and punitive action to Israel is the source of great historical disaster to anti-Semitic nations and the destruction of anti-Semitic individuals. Racial prejudice is always detrimental to the individual who practices it and the nation who makes it a policy. God blesses both individuals and nations who are pro-Semitic. Jesus Christ controls history, and therefore the overruling will of God has delivered Israel from terrible anti-Semitism. There are two categorical recipients of the wall of fire doctrine: the nation Israel and the Jews personally, and the church, both individual believers and the assembly of believers in local churches around the world. That's the first three points in our doctrine of anti-Semitism. Now that brings us to point four. We'll start tonight at point four. The threefold concept of the Jew. There is the racial Jew, the regenerate Jew, the religious Jew. The threefold concept of the Jew. The racial Jew, the regenerate Jew, the religious Jew. Let's start with the racial Jew. Subpoint one, the Jewish race, though Semitic, is classified as a new racial species. The Jewish race, though Semitic, is classified as a new racial species. Two, subpoint two, the Jewish race is the youngest and greatest race in all of human history. The Jewish race is the youngest and greatest race in all of human history. It started with Abraham. He was initially called Abram. Genesis 15:7 says Abram was a Gentile. His physical birth, he was born a Gentile from Ur of the Chaldeans. So Abraham was born a Gentile. Subpoint three, Gentile Abraham became a Jew at the age of 99, at the point of his circumcision. Gentile Abraham became a Jew at the age of 99, at the point of his circumcision. Subpoint 4. So the Jewish race is descended through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jewish race is descended through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The very first Jew was Abraham at 99 at his circumcision. And then through his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob. And what's unique about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Regeneration. They're all born again Jews through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation of the Jewish race. Regeneration. Faith in Jesus Christ. So the Jewish race is descended through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The fact that Jesus Christ has this title. Jesus Christ has the title. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is taught throughout the Old Testament and then reiterated again in the New Testament. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Let's go ahead and start at Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord, this is Jehovah, Jesus Christ, in theophany, appearance in prior to the incarnation and virgin birth. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany, appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and take a look at this a little bit closer. That's not in there, that's fine. See this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord, Jesus Christ in theophany, saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then over at verse 15 of Exodus 3. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And then look over at Exodus 4, verse 5. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So here is this special title of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this was seen in the New Testament, Acts chapter 7. So turn over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 30. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses. This is the angel of Jehovah. This is Jesus Christ in theophany. In the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear, and he did not dare to look. And then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to set them free. Now come, and I will send you back to Egypt. This is the same Moses whom they, the Jewish people, had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? That's arrogant people, all right? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush, the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. So, subpoint five. The first three generations of the Jewish race are distinguished by regeneration. Regeneration. They were born again through faith in Jesus Christ, the living and true God. So the first generations of the Jewish race are distinguished by their regeneration, born again through faith in Christ. Sixth, a racial Jew is anyone who has the genes of one of the 12 sons of Jacob. A racial Jew is anyone who has the genes of one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Seven, this new racial species, which began with Abraham at the age of 99, circumcision, this new racial species came through regeneration. Eight, therefore the true Jew not only has the genes, but also the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in him. That's the racial Jew. Now let's look at the regenerate Jew. Secondly, the regenerate. Threefold concept of the Jew. Racial Jew, regenerate Jew, religious Jew. Now the regenerate Jew. One, all racial Jews are not true Jews. All racial Jews are not true Jews. Two, the true Jew is born again. Regeneration through faith in Jesus Christ. The true Jew is born again. Regeneration through faith in Jesus Christ. Three, true Jews are regenerate Jews, not racial Jews only. True Jews are regenerate Jews, not racial Jews only. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. We're going to be getting into this, Romans 9. We're moving through Romans 8. Romans 9 is coming up. 9, 10, 11. Those are three great chapters written by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul loved the Jewish people. He loved them so much. He prayed for them that they would see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and place their faith in Him. So here's the Apostle Paul, who was a Jew of the Jews, and he writes in Romans 9, verse 6, but it is not as though, verse 6, it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. True Jews are the regenerate Jews. Racial Jews are not true Jews. So Paul says, they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, who have the genes. True Israel is regenerate Israel, faith in Christ. Neither are they all children, because they are Abraham's seed, Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise. The promise are regarded as descendants. And God has promised four unconditional covenants: Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenant. Those are the promise that He had given to the Jews. But the only ones who will enjoy those promises are those who believe in Jesus Christ. They will be rescued by Christ at the second advent into the millennial kingdom. Not the unbelievers. All the unbeliever Jews will not go in. They will be judged. All unbeliever Gentiles will be judged. Only believer Jews and believer Gentiles go into the millennial kingdom. They are the children of the promise. And the promise, the four unconditional covenants: Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenant. That's for regenerate Jews only. So it's not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. For this is a word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose according to His choice might stand, not because of works, not because of work, but because of Him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved. He believed in Jesus Christ. He is a believer. Esau I hated. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. Esau is an unbeliever. They're twins. Twins. Same father. Twins. One is a true Jew. One is not. One's a believer, the other's the unbeliever, and they're twins. What's the separation? Regeneration. Faith in Jesus Christ. Jacob believed in Christ. Esau did not. Jacob, true Jew. Esau, not a Jew. Not a true Jew at all. Now, verse 14. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? Meganoita. That's the Greek. You have it, may it never be. King James puts in, God forbid, but that's not here. Meganoita, absolutely not. All right, so true Jews are regenerate Jews, not racial Jews only. Four, subpoint four. Physical descent is useless in the transmission of divine promises on which Israel was founded. Physical descent is useless in the transmission of divine promises on which Israel was founded. Five. Therefore, those who are racial Jews only are not the recipients of the unconditional covenants to Israel, the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. Therefore, those who are racial Jews only are not the recipients of the unconditional covenants to Israel. Six. Such divine promises, the unconditional covenants to Israel, such divine promises can only be transmitted through regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ. Such divine promises can only be transmitted through regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ. In Romans 9, that 6 to 14, Paul says that the word of God has not failed, but the promises of the word are for those who are born again, spiritual birth through faith in Jesus Christ. 7. Therefore, regeneration is the key to the foundation of the Jewish race. Regeneration is the key to the foundation of the Jewish race. Eight. Abraham was born again. Likewise, Isaac and Jacob were born again. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Romans 4, verse 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, well, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed in God. He believed in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and it was credited to him as righteousness. By faith, justification by faith. Abraham was saved, justification by faith, not by works. Justification by faith. It was credited to him as righteousness. Faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as a debt. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, His faith is credited as righteousness. His faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith. Abraham was saved by justification by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. So Abraham was born again, likewise Isaac and Jacob were born again. 9. In the formation of Israel, the racial Jew has to become the regenerate Jew. In the formation of Israel, the racial Jew has to become the regenerate Jew. Therefore, Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 10. The promises of the unconditional covenants apply only to the regenerate Jew, the born again Jew. The promises of the unconditional covenants apply only to the regenerate Jew, the born again Jew. 11. Physical descent, being a racial Jew only, is useless in the transmission of divine promises. Physical descent, being a racial Jew only, is useless in the transmission of divine promises. 12. Therefore, such divine promises demand eternal life and God's imputed righteousness, and that only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Justification by faith, regeneration, being born again. So therefore, such divine promises demand eternal life and God's imputed righteousness, and that only comes one way, by faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith, regeneration, being born again. So, we have had the racial Jew, the regenerate Jew, now the religious Jew. The religious Jew. Subpoint one, the religious Jew is a legalistic Jew. He is a legalistic Jew. 2, he has distorted the Mosaic law, and he thinks he's the religious Jews thought they were the experts in the Mosaic law. But they distorted the Mosaic law into a system of legalism and works. Three, religion is the devil's ace trump. The devil's ace trump. 4, religion is Satan's attempt to counterfeit God's grace and truth. Religion is Satan's attempt to counterfeit. He says, I will be like the Most High God. He is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. And his number one, his ace trump, is religion. Who is the author of religion all over? Satan, counterfeiting, his attempt to counterfeit the grace and truth of God. 5, religion is evil. Religion is evil. Six, religion is a conspiracy against grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace. So religion is a conspiracy against grace. 7, religion and grace are antithetical. Religion and grace are antithetical. Eight, in religion, man tries to gain the approbation of God through his own works. In religion, man tries to gain the approbation of God through his own works. But God made it very clear, for by grace you were saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. You do the work, you get the glory. God does the work, God gets the glory. God did all the work. Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross. And all you can simply do is place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's grace, salvation. Nine, in regeneration, God seeks man through the salvation work of Christ on the cross. In regeneration, God seeks man through the salvation work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And man approaches God through faith in Jesus Christ. In regeneration, God seeks man through the salvation work of Christ on the cross. And man approaches God through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 10. Religion has its own false gospel. Salvation by works. Anytime you hear someone say they're giving the gospel and they throw in works, that is a false gospel. Any gospel for salvation by works. Notice, and Satan has this worked out. All he does is take out, he'll take, a lot of things will be right the same as what you communicate, but he will twist something critical, take out faith and add works, or add works to faith. So it's a false, religion has its own false gospel, salvation by works. Religion has its own communion table, 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21. Has its own communion table, 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21. Religion has its own counterfeit spirituality, Galatians 3, 2 and 3. Its own counterfeit spirituality. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Four, religion has its own counterfeit spiritual maturity. That's the rich young ruler, Matthew 19, 16 to 22. He thought he was the greatest thing going. He thought for sure he was saved and going to be in heaven. And then he discovered he wasn't even saved. And then 5, religion is terrible self-righteousness and arrogance. And the Lord Jesus Christ nailed this powerfully in Matthew chapter 23. So turn over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. If you have a red letter edition, you'll see a lot of red letters here. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. And boy, I would love to have been there. He just nails the religious Jews. This is powerful. I don't think this is taught too many churches. Too bad. It's the Word of God. Matthew 23, verse 13. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Verse 15. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. That's pretty powerful. This is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides! Verse 17. You blind fools! Verse 19. You blind men! Verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees! You hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices and mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, that is justice and mercy, grace in action, and truth. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Verse 27. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombstones, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and desecrate the graves of the righteous. And then you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the sin of your forefathers. You snakes! You brood of vipers! How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill. You will kill them and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon this generation. Now that's how to teach the Bible right there. Lord Jesus Christ had a great Bible class. Was he worried about maybe stepping on their toes? Hell no! He stepped on every toe he could step on. Because it was absolute truth. All they have is religion. They don't have grace and truth. They're not even saved. That's the religious Jew. All right. Well, we finished point four. Come back next week, we'll start at point five. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become reality in our own soul, that we might honor and glorify you to the maximum. In Christ's name, amen.